Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. A Boston University analysis draws a stark picture of how guns are affecting life expectancy rates in the U.S., especially for Black Americans. It found that gun deaths are driving down life expectancy rates for Black Americans by about 4 years, and that is about double the rate of white Americans. Earlier today, we spoke with Dr. Kindu Balisan, an epidemiologist and assistant professor at the Boston University School of Medicine, who's the lead author of the study, and she says it's a complicated problem.
What we saw was, you know, also again, which was known to an extent, is that among Black Americans, it's the young Black Americans, right? And it is all most of the deaths occur before the age of 20. Whereas when you compare it to white Americans, they are older, and it's mostly by suicide. So assaultive injuries occur mainly among young Black Americans, whereas suicide injuries occur among older white Americans.
And with us now to talk about how this analysis might resonate in some of the communities in Greater Boston that have been affected by gun violence is Reverend Moriyama White Hammond, who's an activist and pastor at New Roots Bethel AME Church. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hello. Good to be back.
So what was your initial reaction to this study?
Well, first, I was glad that the study happened in the first place. So I kudos to BU for doing the research, to the Herald for publicizing it. The reality is that, unfortunately, in America, the federal government prevents the Centers for Disease Control from doing research on gun violence. And so, you know, as the doctor said, a lot of us anecdotally know this is true, but unfortunately it's very hard to get the hard numbers because the federal government, which is sort of the largest funder of research, refuses to look hard, take a hard look at this. And I say, you know, I say at church all the time, there's who I am and there's who I want to be. And then there's, you know, the best person I can be. All of us have disconnects between that. But if I can't start by being honest about where I actually am, then there's no chance I'm going to get better. And so the fact that America has, you know, sort of at a federal level refuses to have to take a hard look at where we are in terms of the issue of guns means that we don't really have much opportunity to get better because we aren't having that tough conversation. So I'm glad, first of all, that the study even happened. Mm. Unfortunately for me, this information is not terribly surprising. I ran a youth program in Roxbury, Dorchester. I've seen this firsthand. I have unfortunately lost young people that meant a lot to me and who, to be honest, the loss of them is not just a loss to their families or to the community. It's really lost to the world, because I think I can name young people who had really amazing gifts and talents that the world never got to see. But it's interesting that they sort of highlight this issue of suicide and homicide, and it takes me back to a time where I was looking at the statistics for homicides in my community and then looking at the statistics for suicides in South Boston at the same time, and realizing that I never considered Southie as a place where there were, you know, things to be concerned about, except that their suicide rates were, meaning they were having just as many deaths. Young people there were going to just as many funerals as the young people in my community. Mm. And so I think it is important to pay attention to between the difference, but suicide and homicide, really, I find that one of the things they have in common is the fact that guns make a huge difference in how they play out. So the first thing is that, like, when people say, well, why do these young people engage in violence? If you really know and work with young people who've been engaged in violence, you know that they're young people who don't see a future for themselves. Mm. And that what they may appear to be is very confident and bravado and all of this stuff, but at the foundation of it is young people who are lost, young people who feel like their lives don't matter.
Right. So, I think that Dr. Kalisan, you know, mentions this. You know, there's some startling statistics here when mm-hmm. she said we're talking about many people being killed before the age of 20. Before the age of 20.
Exactly.
I mean, we're talking about very young folks. And what she says she hopes will be done with this data is that it will be used to inform policy. And she suggests mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. doing something very straightforward like banning bump stocks, right, which is what we were going to do after a mass shooting.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what we need, she says. We need to look at, what we need to do beyond policing. What would
right,
you say?
Right. Well, I wanted to say, banning bump stocks is also good for other reasons.
Well, right, right.
I mean, I do think that, so I think there's two things. One, I do think we have to look at guns, because here's the reality. Young people are going to have fights. Young people have been fighting for a long time. The question is, are going to they fight with their fists, fight with a knife, or fight with a gun? If young people fight with a gun, probably somebody's not going to get up. And so I'm not saying that there's not other things we need to do, but I do think access to guns is a big piece of it. Mm. Because now, instead of, you know, punching you out, which is not good, I'm not, you know, advocating for that, but now I'm killing you and you're no longer here. So I do think we have to pay attention to the gun issue.
Oh.
On a deeper level, I think, you know, that it came up in the last election, this sort of idea of super predator. People do not realize, I think, a lot of times how vulnerable young people are, and how important it is that we make sure that all young people, and I know the study looks particularly at young men, and I think that's important. We do need to look at young men and how they begin to feel valued in the community in such a way that they don't engage in this lifestyle. But I also want to say the same is true for young women. It just manifests differently. And we have a hard time in this country putting our money where our mouth is in terms of the support that we should be giving to our most vulnerable young people. And so I think there are a lot of programs. We have a really interesting and exciting program, the BAM program that's here in Boston and came from Chicago and in other parts of the country. That
BAND program?
BAM, B-A-M.
And tell us what that is very briefly.
It's a Becoming a Man program. It's about younger men having conversations with older men, spaces where they can be vulnerable, talk through, think through their lives and where they want to go with their lives. It's not super complicated, except that not enough young people have someone that they can have that kind of conversation with. So there are interventions that can work and do work, and we need to support those. And we also need to make sure that our young people, if they do make the wrong decision to fight, are fighting with their fists and not with a gun. And so I think if we can put both of these social emotional supports together and restrict the access to firearms, those two things together would make a huge difference in turning this around.
All right. Reverend Moriyama White-Hammond, an activist and pastor at New Roots Bethel AME Church. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.